This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes. Also, make sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube original channel, UCTV Prime, available only on YouTube at youtube.com/UCTV Prime. This UCTV podcast is sponsored in part by Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of digital audiobooks available, including many by guests you've heard here on UCTV. Audible.com is offering UCTV podcast listeners a free 30-day trial subscription and one free audiobook download. Just visit audibletrial.com/UCTV to sign up. That's audibletrial.com/UCTV. And thanks.
Well, it's getting up close to 1:30, so we better get going. And first and foremost, I'd like to welcome all of you to our annual UCSF Transplant Service Symposium. Going back, I think we've been doing this for now close to a quarter century, and there are many aims for this meeting. One, of course, is for all of us to meet again with old colleagues and new friends who've joined the nephrology community in the Greater Bay Area. Number two is a great opportunity for all of you to meet many other people within the transplant team, the nurse coordinators and some of the important administrators, many of whom, you know, you communicate on the phone or by email, and now you get to meet them in person. And certainly, without the team, we could not achieve our mission. Third, possibly the most important, is that we can transmit to you the current state of the protocols at UCSF, our results, the new studies that we're doing, and then ultimately is to improve the communication between us and you, which will benefit the patient. It is amazing, and going around the country, and this is one of the few really super successful outreach program in terms of education, and I think it's part of the fact that we do have wonderful nephrologists in the community here, and the fact that many of you come year after year is a testament to that. So I know how busy you are, and it's great that you make time every year to come and join us for the symposium. We have a very nice program for this afternoon. And before I introduce our first speaker, I'd like to, of course, thank all the industry, pharmaceutical, biotech companies that do help support this educational activity, starting with Novartis, Astellas, Bristol-Myers, Genentech, Roche, Genzyme, Pfizer, Questcor, Amgen, Otsuka, Alexion, Silex, and the Apothecary Shop. So many thanks for these companies to provide us with unrestricted educational grants. And as you know, the basis of putting together the program will look at the learning needs, the educational needs of the community. At the end of the program, we'll ask you to give us some suggestions as to topics or areas that you think we should address next year. So the core of the symposium and the curriculum is strictly based on what are the educational needs, what new science has transpired over the past year in transplantation, and of course to discuss other new strategies that we have in place or new protocols and the new trials that we have performed at UCSF. Well, without any further delay, our first speaker is Dr. John Roberts, the Chief of the Transplant Service, and as every year, he'll give you a summary of the outcome at UCSF and whatever other new strategies are in place.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Flavio. He reminded me that this is the 25th year, and that's pretty amazing to have something like this go for 25 years. That's actually the silver wedding anniversary for those guys who need to know. I looked it up. So I'd like to just start off with my talk, and I'm just going to repeat some of the things that Flavio did. These are the sponsors of the meeting, and so we really appreciate them providing support for the meeting. One of the things that, we do record this, and people want to know, well, what happens? This is actually on UCTV. It also, I think, gets on YouTube, and you can go to the YouTube site and see, these distinguished speakers like Steve Tomlanovich. If you want to hear it all over again, it's there. And it actually has, for UCTV programs, and that's a small collection of things. The transplant programs are some of the most downloaded videos. I think of all the transplant programs, we get, I think it's 2 million views or something like that. And so here's, just to show you on the far right, you can see the number of hits and sort of the title of the talks. And, some of the newer talks have fewer hits, but you can see that, these are, people are looking, the top one has 128,000 views. So I think these are widely viewed. And so if you want to go back and take a look at them, they're on the website. I like to, usually I run through the people that are part of the program, and I'd like to do that. I think we sort of have a dearth of physicians here right now, but any physicians here can stand up and just say hello. Stand up, physicians. That'd be you, David, Sandy. Just say hello so everybody knows who they are, so you can meet them. And you guys know Flavio. If the pre-transplant coordinators could stand up and just say hello to the group. These are our pre-transplant coordinators. Living donor. Do we have any living donor coordinators here? Stand up, please. There you go. Just so that people know who you are. And outreach. You're up again. All right, they're up twice. And the evaluation is Sandy or Stephanie here? No. Okay. And then we have our post-transplant inpatient pediatric and pancreatic folks. Can they all stand up? Perfect. Thank you. And then we have our management staff, including Amy Peel and Helen Christensen, just joined us about a week or two ago, so Helen, if they could all stand and just give us a wave. And then we have the social workers and financial counselors. Did any of them get to come? Oh, sad. Okay. Anyway, the other thing, some of you have been up, have seen our new Connie Frank Transplant Center. Connie Frank was a woman who was kind enough to donate money for the transplant center, and it's actually quite beautiful. It has probably one of the nicer views in the city. They talk about $1 million view, and we definitely have $1.5 million view of the downtown, the Golden Gate, and this is our patient waiting area. It's pretty spectacular. These are the exam rooms. Obviously, pretty nice patient education room with video screens. In terms of the kidney transplant program, we're roughly the same in 2011 as we were in 2010 in terms of deceased donors, a few less living donors over the time period. Our pancreas transplant rates have been roughly the same. The survival statistics were recognized as having patient and graft survival our graft survival statistics that were better than the national average. Those are the ones there in green right here showing that we're actually having, despite our patient mix, still end up having very high patient and graft survivals. And it's, this is the 25th year of this, and you guys have been around for 25 years can recognize that, having a kidney transplant patient, 1 year survival of 98% compared to, 1970s where, we were lucky to have, a 40% 1 year patient, graft survival and, probably a 70% patient survival. So, transplant's really come a long way in that period of time. We still have a big problem with the number of organs available. You can see that we, have about 5,000 people on our wait list, 90,000 people in the country waiting. And, about 7% of the patients that we list die each year, which means for the average patient that we put on the waiting list, somewhat more than somewhere around half of those people are dead before they get a transplant just because of the period of time that it takes them to get to wait their 7 years, which is why we really try and encourage people to get living donor transplants, which is obviously shortcuts that mortality rate of patients on the waiting list. One of the things we're doing, I know you heard about this before, but I just wanted to mention again the paired donation. You probably heard about these chains of transplants where, one person who can't give it to another person donates to their friend and their friend donates to somebody else. And so there was a 60 chain that was in the New York Times Sunday paper. And so we're really trying to get this to work. We've done 37 paired exchange transplants, and most of these are transplants in people that have blood type incompatibility, cross-match intercompatibility. And one of the things we're trying to work on now is finding those people that have a donor and size and age mismatch. These are sort of how the chains work, where you have, an altruistic donor, somebody that wants to donate a kidney to somebody usually is sort of the best start of a chain, and they would give to one patient on our list who had an incompatible donor who would then give to the patient down at UCLA, and you have these chains that can go on for, 60 patients, I think, is the current record. One of the things that we see is the mom who's 55 or 60, 5'3", wanting to donate to Junior who's 35 and 6'2" and 200 pounds. The problem with that is that in a year, because that younger, larger person is getting a kidney that's smaller and older, that kidney may not have optimal function at a year. Sandy Fang sort of developed a score for us, and where we really look at the various donor and recipient factors that predict whether or not a patient is going to have what we call suboptimal graft function at a year. And so, if you're in this situation where even where you have a compatible donor recipient pair, but they're incompatible, sort of, if you will, based on this size matching, those people can enter the match. And you have to remember that in this pool of people that are the computer is looking, trying to match different pairs, are going to be a young donor donating to somebody where they, who wants to donate to their mother, say, and they're incompatible to their mother. But it turns out you can swap that. And so the young, our young recipient pair with a compatible older donor could get a younger donor, and that older donor go into the patient that, say, has a high PRA, a low probability of getting cross matches. So sometimes we're trying to put these compatible pairs where there's these size and age mismatches into this pool, allowing sort of more people to get transplanted. And the advantage to the compatible pair is that they can get a kidney from a younger donor. So that's one of the things that we're really trying to work on in the next couple years, is trying to see if we can benefit more people, particularly with this small, older donor, large, young recipient pairing. So I'd like to enjoy the 25th Silver Anniversary Napa meeting. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.